In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Deuteronomy 6:12. Then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. For just a few minutes this morning, I would like for us to consider God's Memorial Days. With this being Memorial Day weekend, we need to remember that God had several Memorial Days, and there is a reason for those. With the Memorial Day that we will be celebrating tomorrow, that originated in 1868 when a general designated a day on which the graves of Civil War soldiers would be decorated. That's why some areas call it Decoration Day. It later became known as Memorial Day, and after World War I was a time to honor the dead of all American wars. It became a federal holiday in 1971, and now many of us use it as a time to remember any of our loved ones that have passed. Friday evening, we went and visited the graves of my parents. Tomorrow, we're planning on going and visiting the grave of Carol's father. It's a time to remember. Some people just look at Memorial Day as a three-day weekend. And with God's memorials, some people look at them as something other than what God intended them to be. First one I want us to consider is from Exodus chapter 12, and that is going to be the Passover. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14, "So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." When we drop down to verse 26 in chapter 12, "And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our household.' So the people bowed their heads and worshiped." The Passover was a central feast for the Israelites. It was very important for them, for those whose doorposts were covered with blood. They were passed over. They were spared death. Those that were covered by blood were spared. They were passed over. Friends, they should not forget that blood that enabled them to be led out of the land of Egypt, the land of bondage. And again, it's just as that was a sign of the doorpost being covered with blood, we should not forget that we must be covered with the blood of Christ. We should never forget that. Another one of the memorials that God had in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 9, was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. "It shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt." See, that was another memorial of deliverance. And we should never forget where we were, that we were in sin, but God delivered us. We should never forget who delivered us. God delivered us out of sin. The Israelites couldn't deliver themselves. We can't deliver ourselves out of bondage, and we should never forget that. Another feast, another memorial, was the Feast of Tabernacles. We read about this in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus 23 and verse 42. "You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All you who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." when they came out of the land of Egypt, they lived in tents, tabernacles, booths. These were temporary structures that they lived in. They would have this feast to remind them of that, to remind them of a temporary dwelling. And why were they to be reminded of that temporary dwelling? Because God was taking them to a permanent land, the land of Canaan, the promised land. And they should never forget where they came from. And you see, all three of these memorials already are talking about never forget where we came from. If the Jews forgot where they came from, and we will see that they did, it caused great problems for them. If we forget where we came from, if we forget that God delivered us out of sin, it's going to be dangerous for us. Another memorial, the Sabbath. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. So why did they keep the Sabbath? We have that answer in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 5. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm, and therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. So why did they keep the Sabbath? It was to remind them that God delivered them out of Egypt. A lot of people don't understand the Sabbath when you ask them about it today. A lot of people, many people, believe that when you read about it in Genesis, that they kept the Sabbath from the beginning. They didn't. It's mentioned in the beginning, but we just read here where it was a memorial to remind them of the deliverance from Egypt. When was it given? It was given, Moses gave it with the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. It wasn't given to the patriarchs, it was given to the Israelites. They were to keep it. They were to keep it. Another one of God's memorials comes closer to home, which we observed just a little bit ago, was the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11:24. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So this memorial that we have, this memorial day is every first day of the week. Every first day of the week. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." We have this memorial day every week, every first day of every week. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 28, we are warned to examine ourselves. "Let a man examine himself, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup." And thinking back to those, the Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Sabbath, it's easy to get caught up in something, and then it just becomes a ritual. You just go through the motion. You can be thinking about 101 things other than the reason why you were there. But consider this memorial with a physical memorial of someone that you've died that you were close to. Maybe a spouse, maybe a parent, maybe a sibling. And when you think about that, and when I think of those memorial services that I went to, I think of like my mother or my father or people that were close to me. I would plan to be there. No matter what came up, I was going to be there for that memorial service. If it was on Saturday and I had to work on Saturday, I would make arrangements where I could take off because nothing was going to stop me from being to that memorial service of someone that I loved. I tell you, a lot of them, I had to mentally prepare for them. Thinking of someone, and I was going to say the other thing too, it's one thing going to one and then another thing to preach one. And like when I preached Ron's service, you know, I was thinking about that days ahead. It's like, you know, you're going to go to this memorial and remember someone, and just all of those thoughts. You could try to think of something else, but the thoughts of that person are going to come to your mind. You have to mentally prepare. You go to a funeral service, and they've changed over the days, but they used to be pretty solemn. They were solemn, but as far as with members of the church, there is gladness and happiness there also, because we were saddened because someone died. Maybe someone suffered and died, but we also rejoiced because we know that they were no longer in this world and in paradise. And then you think about those things, and you think about when we come to God's Memorial Day today on this first day of the week. And what led up to today? Did we stop and think about this or look forward to it? Was Christ on our minds? 1 Corinthians 11:29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. When God gives us something, and he tells us it's a memorial, and we forget to observe that memorial as he wants to, there are consequences. And they may not be evident. They may not be visible right off. But as Paul writes here, many are weak and sick, and many sleep. They are spiritually sick. So when people forget, there's something that happens to them. Something changes when they forget. So let's go back to the Old Testament for a minute and think about some of these other memorials and when people forgot. In Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 24, observe my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes, and were not careful to observe my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. But they profaned my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them, and fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and acted for my name's sake, that I should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. Also, I raised up my hand in an oath to those in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were fixed on their father's idols. So when God told them to observe the Sabbath, and they didn't, what happened? Well, on God's part, God was fed up because Israel did not observe the Sabbath. He was fed up. He thought about unleashing his fury on them in the wilderness. I'll just destroy them. I gave them the simple command, keep the Sabbath, and they didn't do it. I'm just going to destroy them. But he did not for two reasons. For my name's sake, he did not for the sake of Christ, and that it should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles. If God You know, the nations round about knew how mighty God was, and when they went into the land of Canaan, and when they went into Jericho, Rahab said that the people knew what had happened on the other side of the river, and the people's hearts melted because of this God of Israel. And the Gentiles knew the God of Israel. They knew that God had brought them out of the land of Egypt. He had destroyed Pharaoh's armies. And God said, I want to destroy him, but I'm not going to, because of my namesake, and because the Gentiles then could point and say, look at God, he delivered his people, and then he killed them. So he says, I'm not going to do that. But he says, but I raised my hand in verse 23 and an oath to those in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the countries. So you stop and think about this. God is saying, okay, I'm not going to destroy him. That would not be in the plan for Christ. That would give the Gentiles something to talk about. But I'm going to disperse them. I've given them this promised land, but I'm going to disperse them throughout all the countries. And you stop and think about that. And again, this is from Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 20. You stop and think about this. When they did not obey God, what did he do? He had them taken into captivity. And he told them this ahead of time. And that was the main purpose of the prophets, was to warn them to repent so they wouldn't go into captivity. They wouldn't repent, so God has them taken into captivity. And he says, and just to prove to you that I am God, I'm going to release you from captivity, and you're going to go back to Jerusalem. But they all didn't go back. Remember, as we studied in the Old Testament, and when some of them left, some of them made it back and started working on rebuilding the temple. Others settled along the way. Others would settle, and then they were dispersed. They were driven out. Some may have been captured and taken somewhere else. So there is a remnant that returned to Jerusalem. The rest was dispersed throughout the country. And you think, boy, why did God do that? Well, you stop and you see God's wisdom. One of the reasons was to punish his people for not doing what he told them to do. But then you stop and think about this. In Ezekiel 20, verse 23, I raised my hand in an oath to those in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the countries. Well, then when you come to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, what do you have? You have the day of Pentecost. And who came to the day of Pentecost, to that feast? It was the Jews from all nations under heaven. How did they get there? Those 17 nations, those Jews, God had dispersed them. You see God's hand in everything. All of these men that were dispersed in these 17 nations came to Jerusalem. The gospel was preached. When we get to Acts chapter 8, and there the persecution arose, and there was another dispersion, where did they go this time? They went back to those nations that they came from. And what did they take with them? They took the gospel with them. But why did all of that happen? Because they forgot God's memorial. They did not observe the Sabbath. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 13. Now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and the Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe, in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. So we read about that earlier, the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 15, and they should announce and proclaim it in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of olive trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, branches of leafy trees, to make booths as it is written. Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house, or in their courtyards, or in the courts of the house of God, which is in the open square of the water gate and the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned, they had returned from captivity, and they were in captivity for 70 years. There were many years leading up to them being taken into captivity. In captivity, 70 years. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. So you think about this memorial, this Feast of Booths, that God told them to observe. Again, a reminder of them being delivered. And they hadn't kept this memorial since the days of Joshua. Joshua back here. And God, you see his patience, but you see everything that happens to people because they do not keep his memorials. Nehemiah 13, verse 14. Remember me, O God, concerning this, and do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for its services. In those days I saw people in Judah treading the winepress on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves, loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. See, Nehemiah is praying to God about all of these things that are occurring on the Sabbath that were against the law. Verse 16, men of Tyre dwelt there also who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus, and did not God bring all his disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. So you think about Nehemiah's frustration, his despair, his sadness. Why had they been taken into captivity? Because they had forgotten the Sabbath and were worshiping idols, pleasing themselves. Well, they go through this long process, taken into captivity, brought back, rebuild Jerusalem. And what's the first thing they start doing again? Forgetting the Sabbath, forgetting this memorial. Did not your fathers do thus? And did not God bring all his disaster on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. Friends, we should never forget. There are memorials that we should never forget. As Americans, we should remember the sacrifices made for our freedom. As Christians, we must remember the sacrifice made for our sins that frees us from our sins. There are so many things that we should never forget. We should never forget the cleansing of our past sins when we are baptized. We should never forget God's word. We'll say, oh yeah, I'll never forget that. Then how often do we open God's word and read it? We should never forget to do good and share it with others, just like we were talking about this morning in class with benevolence. Well, we'll let the church do it. No, we should not forget to do it. We should not forget God's power and promises. We do that. All of us are guilty of that. And this evening, I'll just mention a brief part of the talk tonight, but when Peter was in prison and the church was praying for him, and then Peter shows up knocking on the door at Mary's house, and they were surprised. You stop and think about that. Weren't you praying that Peter would be saved, and you're surprised God answers the prayer? Friends, we need to pray in confidence. We need to pray. We'll have visitors here this Saturday from the community. We need to pray that we'll find some good and honest hearts. We'll need to pray that we can make contacts and pray that God's name will be glorified. Friends, to be able to appreciate the riches of God's grace and his mercy and his His loving kindness, it's necessary to understand the seriousness of sin. And I think the Israelites didn't understand the seriousness of it. And too many times, we do not understand the seriousness of it. Sin is rebellion against God's holiness. Sin is a determination to walk in our ways, not God's ways. We'll point at somebody and look, that person out there is a sinner. Friends, we are a sinner when we make ourselves Lord instead of Christ Lord. We are to submit to Him. We want to follow our own desires, our own steps, instead of His desires and His path. And it's just a defiant act of the heart. God will say, do this, and what do we say? We say, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. We live contrary to what God says, and then sin leaves our relationship with God broken, and that breaks His heart. And God is a jealous God, and He desires to have this covenant relationship with us. He had a covenant with the Jews, His chosen people. And they didn't keep that covenant. And when Christ came and died for our sins, and He said, this is the blood of a new covenant. God desires to have that covenant relationship with us. God desires that we become part of His family. He doesn't want us to forget what He brought us out of. But friends, he is so gracious, so good, so kind, and we're happy. Yeah, let me be baptized. And then what do? We forget. We forget, and we either go back into the world or we keep going on in the church, and we aren't appreciating the riches of God's grace and the seriousness of our sins. And friends, if you're not part of God's family, He still desires you to be one of His. You have to be born again. Once you're born, you have to submit to Him, follow in His steps. If you do not do that and you need prayers of the congregation or need to make correction in your life, there's any way you need to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.